This is Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
All right, welcome to the Valor Hour. I'm Casey Oxendine, of course, alongside the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. And this is the first installment, really, the first full installment of the Valor Hour. Tim, are you excited?
I'm really excited, man. We kind of did our little test run, and that was a lot of fun. And I think we're gonna have a really good time with this. It's gonna be a really cool thing to do to keep up with what's going on in our promotion, as well as everything else that's going on in our region and all around.
Yeah, well, it's going to be packed tonight. Of course, we got a full lineup of interviews. That's the thing that's got me excited, because I think there's going to be some heat here. And that's one thing I'm really stoked about with this podcast, is it's not going to be a couple of talking heads here. We're going to really get into it. We're going to talk real talk. And, if controversy arises, then all good, because, you know, that's what people want to listen to. So we're not going to avoid that one bit. Of course, we got, Warrior FC coming up this weekend. So we're going to have Jimbo Collins joining us here live. And then also Nick Baker and Kim Beverly, who are the main events, the two fighters in the main event for Warrior FC. You and I are going to be calling the action play-by-play and color right there this weekend. So I'm kind of excited about that. And then, of course, we've got Chandler Cole and Billy Swanson, who are going to be meeting at Valor Fights 41 coming up on March 18th. So, big stuff here tonight. On top of that, we're going to touch on a few things, go back and look at what went down this past weekend. Of course, it was a big Bellator event there in Ireland, and a lot of what we discussed last week came to pass, as you mentioned, except for Sinead Kavanaugh. That didn't go as expected. What did you think about the event overall?
Yeah, pretty much like we said, it was a pretty one-sided card. A lot of the SBG Ireland guys and gals were featured and pretty much did everything that they were expected to do, with the exception of Sinead, who lost a decision to a gal that was, in my opinion, was most likely brought in, expected to lose. She was the biggest underdog on the card. Sinead was minus 700, so, it was huge odds against her, and she pulled the upset in a very clear decision. So other than that, everything else went about as expected. Liam McGarry, he won, and he stopped his guy, in violent fashion. And that was that.
Well, all that being said, of course, Bellator, everyone considers to be the number two to the UFC. I don't know if that really went down as far as American watchers this weekend. I think that LFA 5 may have stolen the show. And of course, the big fight, the big win, Adam Townsend over Marcus Edwards in the main event, that one turned into an absolute war. And, I have to say, I called it. I knew that, right out of the gate, that Marcus Edwards could put some heat on Adam. He certainly did that, cut his face, busted up his ribs. Somehow Adam Townsend persevered, got the takedown, and mashed his way to a third round TKO. What are your thoughts?
Man, yeah, that was an exciting one. At the beginning, he came out and he stunned Adam, and he definitely had him, on the ropes and was pressing in, had him his back against the cage, and was really teeing off, landing some good shots. And just when you think that Adam was going to go down, he would gain his footing and kind of circle out and, get a few more feet away. And that went on for a couple minutes. And, Adam showed a lot of grit. He showed a lot of toughness and durability, and kind of just gutted that takedown, took him down, everything he had to take him down, and finished strong. For argument's sake, I'd say they probably gave that round to to Marcus, just with the overall damage done early. But the second and third rounds weren't in question. You know, Adam got the takedown pretty easy and held his position and turned it on enough there just at the end to get the stoppage. So it was definitely a good testament of durability and toughness for.
He gave out his home phone number there. So, you know, to the UFC. So hoping he gets the call there in Nashville. We'll see how that plays out. Do you think that, you know, judging from what you saw, do you think that that Adam would be healed up enough to, you know, to be ready there in April? That's just two months away. I mean, that was apparently a pretty tough rib injury. And of course, you know, that was a nasty cut. If you watched on Facebook, he actually documented the whole process of sewing that thing up. Pretty nasty.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, you know, just realistically speaking, I'd have to say it's unlikely because A, that was a pretty good cut. B, there was the rib injury. C, I would have to imagine he probably garnered some sort of injury, even though he didn't lose. He most likely did get some sort of injury suspension for a hard fight. That's pretty common whenever you've got just a brutal fight like that. I don't know how long that would be. And then, you know, there's just the whole circumstance with weight. Most likely, you know, if he's banged up right now, it's going to be hard for him to keep his weight down. And at this point, I think they've announced 10 fights already. So I wouldn't imagine they'll make more than two more fights, which would mean he would need to be ready for a short notice. And, you know, if I know Adam, he would certainly give it his best effort if he were to get the call. But, you know, I think it's going to be an uphill climb for certain. I think if he hadn't taken as much damage as he did, then he could, you know, anticipate the call and stay in shape and, you know, be ready to cut that weight if it's, you know, 2 weeks or 1 week notice. But in this circumstance, I think it's going to be an uphill climb. What do you think?
Well, you can't really tell with those rib injuries because, you know, with the cartilage, you know, sometimes there's a tremendous amount of pain there, but you don't know how much actual, you know, injury really there is there, meaning, you know, what would actually keep you out of competition. I think that, you know, the Adam will jump in there and he will fight. If he gets a call from the UFC, he's going to do everything he can to mask the fact that he's hurt. If he is indeed still hurt, he will do everything he can. This is, you know, something he's been looking forward to. And I know that the fans around here, you know, he has a very strong following. So, you know, I'm anxious to find out. And I know that, you know, he actually had an offer, you know, for a grappling contest at Fight to Win, you know, there in Nashville, and that's coming up even sooner. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of interest all the way around. So I definitely think that's interesting. Now, switching gears a little bit, let's go up north to New York and Triton Fights. Last week, same night, Flow Combat, John Gotti, I guess he's the third, right? So it's John Gotti's grandson taking on BJJ black belt Anthony Walter there at Triton Fights for the welterweight title. He wins with a unanimous decision, advancing to 5-1 in his record. I think that's interesting. These kind of fights with this the showmanship and this notoriety kind of stuff, I think this is a kind of fighter that can make waves just because there's interest there. You know, everybody watched the Teflon Don back in the day there when they, you know, put him away, considered possibly the last true gangster in America. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's it definitely adds some an extra layer of interest, you know, for your layman fans that don't know, you know, so much about these guys on that scene. It definitely provides, you know, an extra layer of, you know, just intrigue, if anything. So that's cool. I like it. You know, I honestly didn't have a chance to watch his fight, but from everything you've told me, he was pretty impressive, and it would really be cool to bring him down this way and see what happens if with him competing against our guys.
Yeah, I was interested, you know, and when I watched, I had, you know, he had gotten a few really quick knockouts, you know, heavy-handed guy, and so I was really anxious to see how he would do against a seasoned competitor like an Anthony Walter, who again is a BJJ black belt. This guy knows his way around the cage. But Mangati, very composed, got to the top, stayed on top, a lot of pressure. To me, reminded me a lot of a Tanner Saraceno, kind of looks like him a little bit. But, you know, good stocky guy, you know, and apparently is actually a well-liked guy. He's not necessarily your wise guy type, you know. So I think that there could be a lot of hoopla there. Maybe we get him down to Valor Fights. I'd love to call him. Now, before we move on, I also wanted to give a shout out. I want to go international a little bit and give a shout out to John Nutt and Full Metal Dojo, and that is Bangkok, Thailand. And of course, his last event just went down this past Saturday night, this past weekend as well. It was amazing. And one thing that was kind of interesting is that I guess his son was born the morning of the event. So right before the late evening before. And you know, having, you know, I did the arena combat event here in Bristol, and actually Piercy, my daughter, was born, you know, the night before weigh-ins. And so I know that the pressure going on there when you have, you know, those kind of worries, you know, thinking, man, I'm going to maybe have to leave this event and go, you know, be there for my baby to be born. That happened to John Nutt. Still, you can actually go on to the Full Metal Dojo Facebook page. They have the whole event streamed live there. You can go back and watch the archives and watch it. It's just a very entertaining show. For those of you that have never seen it, it's a lot of showmanship. Great fighters. Of course, you got the Thai guys, but you've also got a lot of guys coming in from out of town and so forth, like, you know, pedigreed MMA performers and so forth. And you know, so anybody who gets a chance, have you seen it before? Have you seen Full Metal Dojo, Tim?
Man, I've seen clips. I've not like watched it as extensively as you have, but I've definitely seen clips. It's a spectacle.
Nice. Well, again, if you get a chance, go to Full Metal Dojo, check it out. Big shout out to John Nutt. And I'm ready to get into the meat potatoes of this thing, man. I want to talk to some people about this Warrior FC main event. And I guess that's going to be our first man, Jimbo Collins.
That's right. That's right. We're going to get Jimbo on here and talk to him about this event he's got coming up this weekend. You and I are going to be handling the play-by-play commentary for that one. So it's been the first time for me doing that in years. I wouldn't speculate on when the last time was, and it's crazy. But I, you know, back in the day, I did it quite a bit, and I enjoyed doing it. So, and I'm excited to do it with you. We've actually never, oddly enough, we've never done commentary together.
I don't know. Maybe way, way back there. Maybe once or twice, but I don't recall specifically. And if we did, I don't think that the recording is still around anywhere. So this is going to be the first one, and really, Warrior FC is going to be a very fun one because it's kind of wild. You know, the Warrior FC is just as a whole is a very wild event, you know, that, you know, originally, you know, starting in the what I call the hills of Kentucky. I'm in the hills of Tennessee, you know, but, you know, Harlan, Kentucky, Middlesboro, Kentucky, you know, a lot of a pop culture, you know, like, the Justified television series, of course, the Hatfields and McCoys, you know, were up in that region of Kentucky. All that stuff resonated from there. And so it's fun to go up there and kind of see, you know, the natural instinct of not only the fighters, but those fans are ravenous when they're up there. They go crazy for these fights. And so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, my first Warrior show that I ever got to attend was, I guess it was last year when we went. When was it we went up there? Was it like September, October? It was the fall. I remember it was nice out. It was pleasant out. But anyway, I remember that exactly what you said. I mean, it is very rabid fans, and they made that place. The atmosphere was electric. I loved it. I was grinning from ear to ear all night just to see these fans just go so crazy for their people is certainly just creates an awesome electric atmosphere, and I'm excited to dive back into that this weekend. So do we have Jimbo?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, you got a big event coming up this weekend. Tim and I are both going to be there. Of course, big main event, Nick Baker, Ken Beverly. Talk about the fight, man.
Well, you know what? I'm excited about this one because these guys, there's a little bit of history. You know, we signed a fight with them a few months ago, and you know, it, there was some talk back and forth, and then, you know, Nick actually had wanted to pull out of the fight, and then we, you know, we negotiated and got that fight set again, and then Ken took a fight a couple weeks before that fight and went up there and got hurt and had to miss the fight. So, you know, this has been a long time coming, and I don't know. I think there's going to be some fireworks. I don't think there's going to be much hugging going on.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking, Tim and I, about, you know, just the old school warrior. And I wanted to, before we even get into this, I wanted to ask you this question really quick. And because I wasn't there, but Stoney Hale, one of my guys, he, the first word that I got about Warrior was that he'd gone up to one of your first shows and was still in a wrestling ring. And he said, and this is what he tells me, that they, you know, the guys were fighting. And of course, this is 10, 15 years ago. And he said the guys were in there fighting, and that one of the corner men from the other team, one of the, you know, sees one of the fighters kind of slide out underneath the rope, like his head kind of come out there, and he runs over and takes a shot. And when he takes a shot at that guy, all hell breaks loose. And that, you know, that the place was just nuts. Now, I was around whenever it was, you know, the cage, there was no barricade around the cage, and the fans had their fingers in the cage shaking it. I mean, it just, I want the fans to understand, our listeners to understand that, you know, back in the day before regulation, before, you know, there really wasn't a handbook on how to promote MMA fights. And I want them to understand that, you know, that is the history. And but you know, there's still an edge that resonates from Warrior FC.
Oh, definitely. I mean, these, especially here in the mountains of Eastern Kentucky, you know, these guys, you know, and the sports evolved. Like, these guys used to come in off the street and just throw down, you know, you know, kind of a redneck brawl type of thing. And now, you know, they, as it evolved, you know, we had some guys coming in from mostly from Tennessee. You know, you're very familiar with a lot of them. A lot of them trained with you and under you. They came in. They were having their way with these guys with these street fighters. So now these, you know, the street fighters have started to venture out, and they're taking jiu-jitsu lessons and wrestling lessons and boxing and kickboxing. So they've come a long way. But, you know, with that said, there's still a lot of the old redneck, you know, let's step outside, out back, and finish it type of attitude. And, you know, these mountain area fans really bring that attitude with them, too. And it's very intense. And I think it's going to be intense this weekend. You know, these, especially when you got, you know, a local guy like Ken Beverly. You know, he just graduated high school. You know, a few miles down the road from where he's fighting, his brother's debuting on the card. He's actually a senior in high school this year. So, you know, they're going to have their friends, their family, and nobody wants to get whipped in front of their family, whether you're a redneck or not, right?
You know, of course, we've got Tim here on the line, and I'm so excited, you know, and even, you know, looking forward, you know, because a lot of people may be, you know, wondering, hey, this is the Valor Hour. What's Warrior FC doing on the Valor Hour? And, you know, just a lot of, you know, the reason for this is that, you know, you and Tim got together and, you know, we have an event coming up, you know, later in the year, which is a co-promotion. So Tim, talk about that just a little bit, and, you know, and kind of give a little background on that, and, you know, and kind of, you know, introduce the listeners to that.
Yeah, man. You know, Jimbo is, you know, that the area right across the line there in Kentucky. He's got, you know, some great fighters there and some great fans. And so we kind of got together and we decided to, you know, approach the Corbin Arena there, which is a super nice venue. I mean, it's just great. I can't wait to be in there, and just it's going to be an awesome atmosphere. But anyway, we decided to go together here and kind of do a Warrior and Valor co-promotion, and that'll be actually numbered Valor 43, and it'll be on Flow Combat. And it's, you know, actually me and Jimbo are meeting tomorrow and we're going to kind of start putting pen to paper and this car is going to start coming together. But, you know, we've already kind of started brainstorming some ideas and, you know, on paper, this thing is going to be, you know, if everything kind of comes to fruition that we're thinking about, then it is going to be just an awesome, epic card that everyone will be very excited for. It's in an awesome venue. We're going to have a great production and it's, you know, it's going to be great. And, very excited to work with Jimbo and excited for this weekend, man. You know, Warriors, you know, Jimbo's promoted more shows than probably anybody. How many shows have you promoted, Jimbo? It's like 100 plus shows, right?
100 and this, I think this is 131 different events that we've done just under Warrior FC. So, you know, we've had a couple shows. Our first pro event in Kentucky was Cage Combat Challenge. And so we, you know, we're right at 140 altogether. So it's, we've done a lot. We took a 5-year break, you know, from 2008 until 2013. And in 2008, when we took our break, you know, we had more events than any other promotion in the world, including, you know, the big boys. So, you know, now they do them all the time, you know, with the fight nights and all that. But at that point we had run more than anybody.
So, of course, we're going to really, really get into this Beverly-Nick Baker fight. Both these guys are going to be on the horn together, and so we're going to, you know, get to listen to them go at it. But let's go down real quick about what else we need to be looking at for this Warrior FC card on Saturday night. We got a couple of title fights. You know, aside from the main event, we've got two more title fights, Brandon Follin versus Randall Ross, and then, of course, Jared Short versus Travis Pennington. Talk about some of these fights and something we should look out for.
Well, you know, I guess the underdog fight, you know, or the fight that's not getting a lot of attention that I think is going to be a super, super fight. I mean, we got Jared Short. You know, he's undefeated. He was Amateur Fighter of the Year last year. I mean, this kid's just come such a long way in such a short time. And he's fighting Travis Pennington, and they're both from that area, you know, the Hazard area over there. And Travis Pennington, you know, from all accounts, is pretty much a local legend over there. You know, weightlifting champion, wrestling champion. And now an MMA champion. I mean, this guy has a padded resume if I've ever seen one. So, you know, that fight is going to be, you know, it could be a show stealer right there. So, and they're from rival gyms. So, and, you know, that's the intensity is going to be high heading into that main event, you know, with that one. And then the Brandon Follin and Randall Ross, you know, two young, super heavyweight, undefeated super heavyweights fighting for a vacant belt. Who don't like to see that? You know, 200-300 pounders in there throwing leather. I mean, that's what it's all about right there. That's what people come to see. You know, exciting big boys that want to throw down, right?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it's bringing back like the lone wolf and those kind of guys that I remember, you know, seeing way back in the day, you know, when they get big. I mean, it's no secret, man. When I'm a huge fan of heavyweight fights, you know, I'm a small guy. Yeah. I'm a technical guy. I love training technical fighters, but when, you know, the rubber meets the road, you know, and I have my choice, I'm going to pick the heavyweights every time. So yeah, mad excited for that. As a promoter, do you make it a habit of making picks for your own shows?
Well, you know, normally in behind closed doors, I will tell my friends and other promoters who I think will win the fight, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I can give you a couple different scenarios on what I think each fighter would need to do to win without saying, you know, how I think it's actually going to go. But, you know, publicly, I wouldn't really want to.
What do you
I don't blame you, Jimbo. I don't blame you at all, man. You gotta stay PC.
Right.
Well, I'll say this. What do you think is going to happen in this main event? What do you think could happen? Let's say that.
Well, you know what? I didn't know a whole lot about Nick Baker until he started fighting for me. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, the kid is exciting to watch. I mean, you know, he and I didn't really get off on the right foot, you know, after that, when the whole thing went down with him and Beverly, where the contract issue or whatever. But, you know, now he's on board and everything is good to go. I mean, just from a fan, like sitting in the stands, that kid's exciting. I mean, you know, he throws from odd angles and, you know, spinning kicks and spinning Superman punches. I mean, he's all over the place. And, you know, that's fun. People like to see that. And Beverly is – now, Beverly's exciting, but he's not outgoing like Nick. You know, he's not flashy. You know, he's a kind of guy that, you know, I'm coming in, bringing my lunchbox. I'm going to work. So it's a contrast in style. But I will say that whoever imposes their will the most, which, of course, that's what a fight's all about. But, you know, if Beverly's able to use what he does best, which is take somebody down and punish them, then he's going to be in really good shape. Baker's in for a long night. Now, I think if Baker can stay on his feet and keep Beverly away from him a little bit and keep some distance, then Ken may be in for a long night. I mean, it's, you know, whichever one is better at what they do is going to win this fight. And honestly, I don't think it's going to the judges either way. You won't
my take
see
on
judge's
it.
Decision in that fight.
My take on it, I think it's a really well-matched fight because I really would have, I mean, as we've covered, I'm a degenerate gambler and I will usually be more than willing to bet on a fight, but this one will be really hard for me to put any money down with any sort of surety. So it's a very well-matched fight. I think that Nick Baker, is stunning everyone coming out of the gates here at 3-0 as a pro, looking to go to 4-0 after, you know, an upside down amateur career. But, you know, Nick kind of learned in the cage and had so many amateur fights and against the very best guys that we could throw at him. So, you know, at the same time, you know, Ken, well, was Ken undefeated as an amateur? Is that right?
Ken was 6-0 as an amateur.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So they're very different, you know, stories here. You know, Ken was a highly touted amateur becoming a pro, whereas Nick was becoming a pro not off of any sort of real hot streak. I mean, he was winning and losing somebody, but he was fighting such tough guys. So, you know, I don't know that Ken's the best guy that Nick's fought. I don't know at the same time that Nick's the best guy that Ken's fought either, though. So I don't, I don't think either guy is going to be starstruck, and I think you pretty much called it as far as the scenarios go, Jimbo. You know, standing on the feet, you know, Nick has knockout power, comes from weird angles. He's confident, bordering on cocky. And so he believes that he is going to go in there and win by knockout, you know, and he's gotten better. His wrestling's gotten better and his ability to scramble up as well. But, you know, Ken also excels in those scrambles. You know, that's actually where, you know, I saw that one fight, the one against Kaiser that we were at. I saw that live. But I was impressed with his scrambling ability. He was constantly getting the better of those scrambles. So I think that's what's going to make this an exciting fight is Ken trying to get this to the ground and Nick providing plenty of resistance there. And we're probably going to get some great scrambles and probably some great exchanges in separation. So, I really do think it'll be an exciting one. How do you see it going, Casey?
I see the exact same thing, man. If everything goes right by the book, Ken Beverly should win the fight. But Nick Baker, you know, the haymaker Baker, you know, there's something to it. And, you know, there may be a trend going on because, you know, we spoke with Edward Massey last week, and that's another guy who had an upside down amateur record, or at least it was many people considered him to be a journeyman, in fact. And he is himself, you know, a 4-0 pro now. You know, Nick Baker, a 3-0 pro. Like you said, there's something about learning inside the cage and getting better as an amateur. And I think that, you know, some fighters have to have that that learning curve that way because of the pressures when you actually step into the cage under the lights. It's so much different than training in the gym. And I've seen guys that train in the gym and they're, you know, experts in every area. But when they get inside the cage, they just can't make it work. While, you know, other fighters will go in as amateurs and they'll drop a few losses, but it seems that, you know, maybe they pick up here and there and they're still training in the gyms and so forth. But by the time they turn pro, they're seasoned. And I can admire something like that because those protected amateurs, if they can't pull the trigger when they turn pro, what good is it? So that's sort of my take. I think that Kim Beverly, you know, has every tool in the world to beat Nick Baker and should, but Nick Baker is Nick Baker.
You know, let me ask you this, because you know, you've seen probably more fights than anybody I know, and you've seen more careers, you know, from start to finish. So with a guy like Nick Baker, you know, like you said, he had his ups and downs in the amateur, but for him to get new life, and to start out as 3-0, now he's undefeated, heading into a professional title fight. You know, I mean, what difference does that make in his confidence level as opposed to when he was, let's say, 3-5 as an amateur or, you know, something like that? I mean, it's the same person, but what difference is that make in his fighting ability?
Well, for a guy like him, it's huge because just the way that Nick is wired. I mean, you know, some guys can't forget about those times, isn't it? You know, they can't shake those losses. But, you know, Nick is like the perfect guy to be like, hey, you know, now I'm a pro. I'm 0-0. You know, it doesn't matter what my amateur record was. Now I'm 3-0 and you know, take that swagger and use it. Nick actually started as 0-5 as an amateur. He was an 0-5 amateur. Most guys would have quit. You know, there's not a lot of guys that let it get much worse than that. So, you know, he really kind of turned it around in the second half. And I would have to say it's a major factor. What do you think, Casey?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Having confidence in yourself means everything. And we've seen it in fighters that have all the skill in the world and they're undefeated and they lose one time. And then the next fight, they come out and they're shaky. They're not doing the things that they did before, even though they're the same fighter. So confidence definitely weighs heavily. Now, that being said, it can also be a double-edged sword because if Baker is ultra confident in himself, he's 3-0, Is he doing what he needs to do outside of the fighting to continue improving? Because no matter how good he is now, if he doesn't continue to improve, he will eventually hit a roadblock. So I think that, you know, it's important to maintain, be able to see it from both sides, make sure that, yes, I'm a great fighter. I'm going to continue to aspire to new heights, but at the same time, continue to improve as well. So, real quick, Jimbo, before we send you off and we bring in the two monster main event competitors, you know, any shout outs you want to give, you know, let everybody know how that they can watch Warrior FC and keep up with what's going on and so forth. Anything you have, you know, any plugs, give them now.
Well, I'll tell you what, we just, for this event, we'll have a link up tomorrow. Thanks to Tim Lloyd, you know, he gave the suggestion, you know, late that we get Fight TV, FITE, Fight TV. So they're going to be broadcasting this on pay-per-view for those who can't make it to the actual event. You don't want to miss that, you know, and that's just $15. So if you're stuck at home or on the road and can't make it, check that out. Show some support and,
Hey, old school wrestling fan, old school wrestling fan. That's Jim Ross's platform, right? Jim Ross owns Fight TV.
Yes. They broadcast wrestling too. I think. I mean, they're a multi-sport and entertainment type of thing. So I'm excited about it. You know, and in the future, another hookup we've got with my buddy down there, old Tim. You know, I'll tell you what, and I'm looking forward, we're going to do some exciting things with Power and Warrior in the future. You just watch. But, you know, in the future here, in June, starting in June, we'll be on Flow Combat. And so look forward to that. And we're upgrading our production and our show. And, you know, we got a couple of good announcers coming in this weekend. Have you guys heard about them?
Yeah, man, we're gonna do our best. We're gonna do our best to live up to that, and we're really excited about it too, man. And I'm excited to work with you. And before we let you go, we almost let these guys off the hook, but we promised a roast session, and we're gonna have a little hall of shame here on the Valor Hour as they come about. We're gonna let these guys have their shed the light on them because there's so many of them that just do this to I think to portray some sort of image or some sort of persona on social media, and I'm talking about guys that that book fights and then pull out just over and over repeatedly with bullshit excuses and it's like a plague. It's just it's terrible, and it needs to be exposed. And so, on this one, Jimbo, you had one, and so we're going to go and let him have it. And this is a guy that's done this. He's done this before, and so really, it's we should know better at this point, kind of thing. So, this guy, he's done this to me now three times. Jimbo's episode will make four times, and I'll let you go ahead and explain the circumstance, and he'll be our first inductee into the Valor Hour Hall of Shame.
Yeah. Hey, and on top of that, you can choose to, to ceremoniously, you can burn him, you can hang him, or you can electrocute him, and it's your call.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Well, for any of those three, we would have to catch him first. So, so we're going to have to set up a sting and catch him, but if it were me, I'd say give him the chair.
Oh, nice.
Let him fry, baby. But Brandon Goolsby, is that how you pronounce it?
It is. Brandon Goolsby, our first inductee.
And, this guy, I've been, I never had any contact with him until a couple of days ago. But I've been going through his coach, who I thought it was his coach, DJ Mackey. And because when he introduced himself to me, he said he was his coach. And he set up the fight. And so I assumed everything was good. And I've been sending him the messages on what he needed to do to get his license in Kentucky, his blood work, his physical. And, I'm getting feedback from him throughout saying, okay, I'll forward this to Brandon and, we'll get this done. And he's looking forward to it. And, well, a couple of days ago, Brandon adds me on Facebook, which, that's cool. That's the way I can contact him now. So I send him a message when I was checking the status online today, and he hadn't had any of his stuff in. So I said, listen, you have to get your physical and blood work and your license paid for today. And, then he sends me back a message and, oh, well, I'm sorry, bro. Been meaning to tell you, I took a new job. And so I haven't been able to, I'm not going to be able to train. And, this fight was signed 5-6 weeks ago, maybe longer than that. And it's, I don't know. So many of these guys want to sign a fight. And I think this guy's got a kickboxing record. So he's actually fought. But those are the kinds of guys you have a little bit of trust for, especially when you're dealing with their coach, which I prefer to do anyway, because the fighter generally refers everything to their coach anyway. And if they have a good coach, they should. But it really, it's disrespectful to the sport. It's disrespectful to the promoter. It's disrespectful to the fans. And more than anything, it's disrespectful to that guy who's been training for 6 weeks to fight him, and who did go get his blood work and his physical and paid for his license, and has his family coming from 3 hours away to watch him fight, to get news 3 days or 4 days before the fight that this guy has a new job and hasn't been able to train. That's not a good excuse. A death in the family, if you're sick and you can't perform, if you've got staph infection, if you've got a legitimate injury, that's a good excuse. Tim posted on Facebook earlier, somebody said, was taken up for the guy and said, work has to come first. Well, we all work. We all have to pay bills. So did his opponent. His opponent's an 18-year-old kid I'm sure he's got a job. But this guy, I mean, the utter disrespect, you know, the second closest thing to that is actually showing up and then not making weight. Those two things are two of the most disrespectful things that can happen in MMA. You can talk trash. You can say what you want. You can call people names. That's part of it. That's part of the game. But to not show up and fight or to have no intentions, and this is, you know, if you don't have your blood work at this point or your physical at this point, you knew you weren't fighting. So he never intended to fight, in my opinion. And if I have anything to do with it, he'll never fight on any of my friends. And I have a lot of friends in the game. He'll never fight on any of my friends' shows, and he'll never be on my show again. So hopefully some of the athletic commissions can put notes in the database and keep him out indefinitely, because more than likely he would just do the same to somebody else anyway.
Yeah, I agree, Jimbo. We've had the same issues with the same guy, and it's not just him. There's plenty of them out there, and it seems like the same guys pull the same things. And you know, we get painted as the assholes here, where, you know, we have no sympathy. You know, things happen, you know, and, you know, work comes first. I have to provide for my family. Like, I get that. Come on. You know, that's not my point. The point is, if that's your situation and you don't know for sure that, you know, your work is going to allow you to do this, don't make the commitment, because there's so much more that goes into this than just you. You know, the promoter is making graphics and, you know, sending you tickets, and your opponent's training, and they're getting their medicals and doing the things they need to do. And it's not just about you, essentially, is what guys need to realize. And then some of these guys, they just don't care, you know, and they'll just go somewhere else. But eventually, if they burn enough bridges, we get, you know, kind of stick together, then we will eventually eradicate them. More will pop up, as always. But, you know, it's they've got to be exposed. There's just been too – they get away with it too many times. So hopefully we can just get the word out there and just shame them into essentially just stop wasting our time. That's what it comes down to. No one's forcing these guys to fight. It's not like anyone's, like, gun to your head saying you've got to fight. You, most of the time they contact us, and they want to fight.
Yeah.
You know, and so – yeah, that's it just doesn't, it, you know, just stop wasting our time more than anything.
You talk about feeding your family. What do they think that we're trying to do here? Do they think that we're playing games when you're promoting an event? You know what I mean? Like, it's your full-time job. You're doing this. And when, you know, if like you said, if they don't want to fight, you know, they can say, well, this is an amateur fight, and we don't, you know, we shouldn't have to show up there if it conflicts with our work. And it's like, that's fine, man. Nobody's telling you to do that. You should know, you know, within 6 weeks, if, you know, what your job's going to entail. You know, it's like, you accept the fight, you move forward. It should be criminal. In some places, you know, where the ABC actually oversees, they are suspending fighters nationally that do stuff like that. They deserve to be removed from it. In a situation like this, where the guy basically held you up and put you in a spot where it is impossible with the commission that you work with in order, you know, to be able to replace him, then he needs to be done. He needs to be done for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, or gone forever, because it's a black eye on the sport, period.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's enough.
It's a ripple effect. You know, you got it affects everything from like Tim said, marketing to, you know, you make graphics with a guy's picture on it. And it's not just you, it's your opponent. It's the people who are coming to see X number of fights, and then when they get there, there's one less or two less. I mean, it's every show, there's somebody who pulls the same stunt.
Well, Jimbo, before we let you go, I have, you know, I'm dropping the gavel. Brandon Goolsbee, he is guilty, and he's going to get the chair. Jimbo, you, I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Brandon Goolsbee, here you go. Rest in peace, Brandon Goolsbee.
Good talking to you, Jimbo.
You too, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, we have the main event competitors from Warrior FC, Knuckle Up or Shut Up. It's going down this Saturday night. We've got Nick Baker and Ken Beverly on the line. Gentlemen.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. How you doing?
We're doing well. We're excited to for this fight. Casey and I are actually going to be doing the commentary for this. So, you know, we're excited because we know some of these guys in these fights up here this weekend, and we're going to get to call the action on the fight TV app. And so, definitely excited for this one. Nick, you're very you're a guy that is very familiar to the people in the Valor circles, but you know, to everyone else out there that just that doesn't really know you. If you want to just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, we've already told everybody you're a 3-0 pro, and you know, you had an upside down amateur record, but things have just kind of turned around for you, crazy out of nowhere as a pro. Now you've gone on a run. You're 3-0. So you know, just if you would just talk about this fight, you know, what should we expect in this fight, and you know, just kind of tell the fans about your style and you know, that type of stuff.
You and Casey both know how horrible my amateur career was, mostly because I didn't take jiu-jitsu in my life, and it's been a very horrible experience in my amateur career. But I've been hardcore working on my jiu-jitsu, and it's been improving my record a lot, and it's been pretty awesome pro record so far. What most people know me through Tennessee is I love the stand and bang. I think striking's the most intense, fun game you can do. I don't think that style is ever going to leave me, but I feel pretty comfortable with my ground game against Ken, and I believe it's going to be a pretty good fight. And, I know I'm not the most, like, favorite in Kentucky and most liked, but I love to bring a fight, and that's what people are there for, and I hope this is going to be a good one.
What do you see in this fight as far as how it matches up? Obviously, you know, most people are seeing this as a striker versus grappler per se. You're definitely the wild card in the fight. What do you see that he does better than you? What do you see that you do better? And where do you see the fight going and the outcome and so forth?
Well, like you said it already, striker versus grappler. We all know he wants to go to the ground. We all know I like to stand. I'm not trying to be rude, but I just think at 19, it's too young. Like, you don't have enough fight experience to be a fighter yet. No doubt he's good. He has great jiu-jitsu. I can give him that. But I really just don't feel like I'm going to get taken down.
So, Ken, let's talk a little bit. You know, you're 3-2 right now, but you've faced some tough opposition. You know, same thing, man. Same question. What do you do better? What do you think that there's anything he does better? And how do you see this thing playing out? And, of course, any side notes that you have?
Well, I'm pretty confident for this fight. I mean, I've worked my hind end off for this for, well, four months, basically. I feel pretty confident for this fight. Whether it's ground or standing, either one, I'll go the distance, and I like my odds.
So
we were talking earlier, Casey and I were talking earlier, just kind of, and Jimbo actually also, we were just kind of breaking this fight down. We all kind of agreed, you know, that, you know, you both have your areas where we can see you winning, and it's a really hard fight to pick. So, you know, I was saying that, you know, Nick has that one punch knockout power and comes from crazy angles, and you know, standing is just such a handful, and he's improved his takedown defense so much, and you know, and at the same time, you know, I saw your fight, Ken, your last one, and very impressive there. Congrats on that one. And you know, I think that your what impressed me most was your ability in the scrambles to kind of always just come out in the good, you know, and that's one of those things that that just some guys have a knack for. Every time you guys had a scramble there, you always just kind of came out in the good. And I think that this fight will be full of a lot of those scrambles. And I think that, you know, the separation of those scrambles when Nick can get off, or if you can, you know, take his back potentially even, I think it's just going to be a really exciting fight. And do you guys see, is that how you all see it?
Yeah, I see him, like I said, at 19, I can see him being a wire bunch. going to be a lot of it's going to take a lot of energy this fight, no doubt.
Oh God, yeah.
We've both been working hard for this.
Go ahead, Ken.
I've seen Nick fight and stuff like that, and I know he's a real awesome fighter and stuff like that, and I plan on this ain't gonna be an easy fight. I know that. I'm just ready to get in there.
So you guys are so respectful right now. I mean you very, very much so. And I mean, you know, as individuals, I've you know, encounters I've seen and heard and so forth. I've heard that, you know. Now, there was a little controversy about that last fight, and it got a little heated. And, you know, I think there, you know, there was a part, you know, of course, it was going to happen before. There was talk about, you know, Nick had decided not to take it. I think that, you know, I guess Nate Shook had advised that, you know, because Ken was a leg lock master, that it wouldn't be a good fight for you. And it kind of went back and forth. And so all this stuff. And what I'm saying is this is all stuff that I've heard and, you know, kind of heard through the grapevine or maybe read, you know, bits and pieces of. Well, I've got both of you guys right here right now, you know, and, you know, so on that, you know, on that line, talk about, you know, what happened then, what was going on then. Nick, Ken, what was your take?
Yeah, I'll start on this. I kind of have to add a temper tension because we were supposed to fight for my second pro fight, and now I'm going on my fourth one. So, like you said, it got canceled. But what happened is, we found about no leg locks because I was very weak in my legs and I didn't have much knowledge. But I had to do a leg lock seminar. I didn't even feel confident to go in there. The first one, before we were going to fight, I didn't do my seminar. And I agreed to do no leg locks. And he was very respectful about it. He said, fine, that's fine. I just want to fight. And he ended up fighting in Ohio. And I guess an injury happened. And I got mad about it because I'm not supposed to fight within 2 months with the contract. And I just threw a fit. We kind of got heated and a bunch of Facebook drama. We kind of know about that.
You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I mean, I think that a lot of that drama is propelling this fight that, you know, finally happening right now. And I think that a lot of people that are going to be buying tickets, you know, are going there. Is there still any heat there, you know, leading up to this? I mean, do you guys still have an axe to grind for anything that was said before?
No, I'm pretty good. I just know I like to fight. Most of y'all know my tempo and I love just go forward. So, I don't know if you're going to see that as a controversy or anything, but I'm just here to fight and get my win and go to the next one.
Do you think all these fans there, you know, Ken's going to have a big crowd support, I would imagine, there. Ken, do you think that'll play any part in this? You think your fans will get in Nick's head at all or make it any sort of advantage for you? Because I know Nick has fought a lot of times, you know, in his opponent's backyard.
No, I don't think none of that'll happen. As soon as I go out there, I just like the crowd, everything. Like I'm not focused on nothing else but the person in front of me in that cage. That's all I'm focused on, and that's all I'm worried about. Like I don't think about nothing else or worried about anyone else or what they say. I go in there and get my work done and get out.
That's the right answer, isn't it, Casey?
Yeah, absolutely. but again, it still doesn't hurt to you know, have a big house of fans. And we talked about this earlier, you know, tonight with Jimbo, that the Warrior FC crowds are not only vast, but they are nuts. You know, like the events we've been to. I mean, it's, you know, from years ago they were crazy, but even now, still, you know, it's like the roof's about to pop off of the arena. Nick, you know, you fought a lot at Valor. You know, and again, you were the underdog a lot of times. How do you feel differently now fighting at Warrior? You know, you fought Prime. I don't know that you fought for Valor since. Becoming pro, except for your debut, what's your mindset like now? has your time in Warrior, what has it done as far as is your development, and or do you think a lot of that is just confidence in yourself? Did you believe that you always had it, but you just didn't have the confidence like you do now?
Well, as far as the confidence, so my ground was pretty horrible, so it kind of hurt me a little bit. But with it improving the way it is, I'm loving the fight game now. I love how I can go any way I want and survive. But as far as fighting in Kentucky and having interviews and stuff, I kind of like it. I love that kind of stuff. I love the goof off and have fun while I'm in there. I mean, just get paid and have fun and fight. But no, I don't really think the crowd bothers me at all. I love it when they don't want me to win. I'm weird like that. But as far as Warrior FC, I enjoy being with them since I've been with them. Jimbo Collins, he's a real good guy. And I plan on fighting for him for a while as long as the 8% weight cut rule doesn't affect me too bad.
Well, there you go. So before we close it out, I wanted to let both you guys, you know, give shout outs that you need to give to your fans, to your sponsors, to your teammates and all that. Nick, if you want to go ahead and get it started, and then and we'll let Ken close it down.
Yeah, I was always want to thank Shane Hill from the Foot Clan and Jason Brake from Bushido for always helping me with my cross training, and also Newport Combat for also helping me get ready for this. I'm pretty excited and ready to throw some leather.
All right, Ken.
First, I'd just like to thank God for this opportunity, for getting this fight, and you know, for the belt and stuff. And I'd just like to thank my coaches and my dad and them for pushing me and you know, for help me get to where I need to be right now, and that's about it. And all my fans.
Well, great. Well, we look forward to seeing both you guys this weekend, this Saturday night. You know, Tim and I are both calling the event, so very excited to be calling it. I think it's going to be a tremendous main event. You guys have a great night, and we will see you Saturday.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, we are here with Chandler the Hammer Cole, 1-0 professional mixed martial arts fighter, getting ready for his second bout at Valor Fights 41 that goes down March 18th. Chandler, how's it going, man?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. I was talking to Tim here, and we were saying, man, we need somebody to get on here and that can talk and can cause some controversy. And I was like, well, give Chandler Cole a call.
Always.
Get the hammer on the line, man.
Always. I love talking.
Man, what do you think about this fight coming up with Philip McLaughlin?
I'm excited about it. I ain't fought since August, so I'm hungry. I'm ready to get in there and get the job done.
Yeah, so what do you think about this guy? Talk about the match overall. You know, McLaughlin's a guy that's known to have some knockout power. He's going to be coming to swing for the fences.
You know, honestly, I think that's what I'm looking for. I expect him to come out and throw in from his pocket. He's not real technical. He's real sloppy, so I think that's going to help me it's going to help me capitalize. So I'm not real concerned on him knocking me out. You can't knock people out off your back, so I'm not really too concerned.
This is one of those matches, you know, where I'm really kind of surprised this hasn't already happened. You know, Casey, this is with the region these guys come from. Like, it seems like this would have main evented like some kind of show as an amateur at some point. It's like too good not to. And so when we thought about it, I was just like, man, they're like, yeah, well, that's perfect. You know, of course, let's do that. And, you know, Philip is he was a former amateur champion for us as well. And, you know, he's a guy that just, man, he has just the power that he possesses, you wouldn't gather it just from, you know, from sizing him up. He just is not he's kind of unassuming, you know, a real nice guy. And, you know, but I've seen him like lay guys out, you know, so, there's no doubt though, this will probably be, you know, Chandler will be his, stiffest test to date. And he was excited for the challenge, you know, and I know Chandler's always excited for a challenge. And so we were really excited to make this fight. And, you know, that's March 18th. It's not too far from now. Chandler, talk about a little bit about what's kept you on the shelf, you know, over, you know, the past several months, why you haven't been able to compete.
Back in October, I was just lifting, you know, normal routine, staying in the gym, staying fit, and I was squatting, and I was just warming up, man, and my back, something popped in my back, and it really enabled me from training, enabled me from running, any type of squat, deadlift, lift. So it took me about 3 months before I was back to get back to running, wrestling. I was just sparring in general, and that's why I took some months off, is because I knew that there was no way I can compete. I had a fight. I was supposed to fight December 2nd, and I told TM that I couldn't. And that's basically where we pick up now. I feel great. I feel like my injuries have they've healed up, and I'm ready to go. This is the best I've ever felt, and you know, I'm in great shape right now, so I'm excited to fight.
You've been down at American Killer Bees, of course, with David and Ben Sargent down there. And I've seen the videos, of course, and of course, working with Billy Swanson. I saw the wrestling match, which was really interesting. You know, talk about that training down there and talk about that match.
It's always intense when I go down there. Those guys, they're super talented and just fun to be around. You know, the wrestling match, I wrestled with Billy. I definitely underestimated him, but that's how I've always been. If you want to be the best, you have to believe, you honestly believe that you are. And I went down there and we wrestled, and man, he's a different beast. I definitely underestimated him, but that's good. It's good to test yourself. It's good to challenge yourself, because if you never train with people who's better than you in aspects, then you'll never grow as a fighter. David, awesome guy to be around. Just positive vibes all around. Ben Sargent is crazy, but I love him to death. He is great. He's not all there, but I love him to death. He's a great guy. And it was amazing. It was a good experience. And, you know, I can't wait to go back and train with those guys again.
Well, you also got some work in with Sid Wheeler as well, right? You guys did. You told me that you did some kickboxing, a few rounds with him, right?
Oh, yeah. His kickboxing is crazy. It surprises me how someone 200 pounds can move like that. He's so fast. You know, a lot of times in lightweight, you catch guys who are fast, but they don't possess a lot of power. And then you catch guys who are bigger, who aren't as fast, but hit like bricks. And Sid really has like the total package when it comes to stand up. And I got a few rounds in with him, and it was a great experience. Dude is super talented.
Yeah. So you've got the kickboxing, you've got the wrestling. I also heard that you and Tim were down in Elizabeth in this past weekend, and you were also doing some cross training down there, right?
No, we wasn't cross training. We were,
hold on now. That's not what Tim told me. Now, Tim, I heard that there was some heat going on down there.
We may be preheat still, but I think there may be some heat coming. You know, we definitely we were at the Evolution Championship Wrestling with our good friend Joey Carrier, who owns the venue actually where we'll be running Valor on March 18th that Chandler's fighting on, and so they've got their wrestling promotion there, and we were promoting our event there with them. And you know, there was a few cross looks, maybe we should say, maybe between Chandler and this big guy there. And I don't know, it was kind of a weird vibe, man. But we're gonna go back and see what happens on March the 10th, and you know, we're gonna do some more promotions there, do some ticket giveaways for Valor 41, and some different swag, some t-shirts and stuff like that. So that they put on a really fun show there at the Evolution Sports Gym. They'll be there March the 10th with another big show before our event March the 18th, and Chandler will be there doing a promotional appearance, and he's actually rocking that Jerry curl hard right now. You didn't see that, Casey. He's growing it out though all the way. No other fighter does that. Like, nobody else is rocking like the straight Jerry curl.
I only wish that I could get that kind of curl in my hair. You know, I'll tell you something, Chandler. I'll be there. I'm going to go on March 10th. I was feeling under the weather. Otherwise, I would have been with you guys. But I'll be there, and I'm an older guy now. I'm an old man, so I'm not much of getting physical. But I'll look out for you. I'll tell you that. I'll be there for you. I'll make sure nothing bad happens.
Tell you right now, March 10th, I'll be there. You tell that big dummy, if he has anything to say, I'll be there in person he can come get some if he wants some. That's what I got to say.
Well, great. Well, man, real quick, let's shift gears back, to March 18th. Philip McLaughlin, again, all the videos you've seen, everything that you know about him, give us a little bit insight of what's going to happen, why he needs to be looking out for you instead of vice versa.
I'm young and I'm highly motivated. I know every fighter has their story, but, I have certain things that really push me and motivate me. A lot of people don't know this, but March, I was raised by my grandmother, and she passed away March 29th of 2015. So, that's 11 days shy of that anniversary. And, I finally got shirts made in memory of her from this fight. And, if anyone's here and they want some shirts, just let me know. And it feels right. I'm highly motivated by that. Watching her fight, fight that battle and winning. And, she died, but that doesn't mean she didn't win the fight. She touched so many people along her journey. And, that's really been on my mind leading up to this fight. So, I'm just out there to make her proud. I'm out there to make Tim proud. Everybody, my coaches, my friends, my family, the Team Co Nation. So he has to look for that aggressive fight style that I come with, and the non-quitting fight style I come with. So, Phil, be ready, bud.
Well, there you have it. Real quick before we let you go, give some shout outs, show the love that needs to be shown, and let us know where we can find you, all your social media plugs.
Yes, my Twitter is CRCOLE_33. My Instagram is CRCOLE_33. Same thing. I want to give a shout out to my coaches. They push me. They're real hard on me, but I know it's because they want to see me do good. So Adam Mays, Nick Jackson, Josh Steele, my teammates, Phil Pott, Travis, all those guys at Team Fast. I want to give a shout out to American Killer Beast for letting me come down there and train again. They always make me feel welcome. So it's awesome to go down there and feel like you have a second family. I want to give a shout out to Elite Fitness in Coburn, Virginia, for giving me a place to train and really always having my back. Shelly Richards, she's a wonderful woman. Crystal Wagner at Razor's Edge, she always hooks me up on the haircut and stuff. And she does a great job. And Southern Steel Tattoos, they're always having my back and always helping me with my fight career. And, of course, Valor Fights. I feel like I'm at home right now, so I got to say thanks for that. Great promotion. And if you're a fighter out there and you're looking for a place to fight, this is definitely – how far it's come in the last year is crazy. Saying we're just growing. We're just growing every day. So those are my shout-outs and to the Team Total Nation. Let's do the damn thing.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Chandler. You have a great night. I look forward to seeing you. Well, March 18th, but also March 10th. We'll be in the house.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chandler.
Hey, no problem.
All right. We have Billy Swanson on the line. We're going to see him March 18th at Valor Fights 41. Billy, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. Just winding down the night.
Nice. Well, we've seen the hype already. You'll be facing Kelly Payne in a very decorated match. Not only are you going to be putting up your Valor Fights title, but this is the finals of the regional tournament. Talk about this fight. Talk about the heat that's transpired here and what we're going to see on March 18th.
Kelly's a good up-and-coming fighter, 2-0, two first-round finishes. We both share Tim Johnson as an opponent, and, he got his finish a little bit quicker. I don't know. Like I said, he's a tough local guy, but I don't feel like he's got what it takes to, knock me off. And, like I said, when I won the belt, you're going to need to knock me off. And I don't think he's that tank.
Well, of course, you're coming off a big win over Justin Gooden back at Apex 13. A huge, electric, sold-out crowd, and a lot of that crowd was there to see you. Talk about that fight a little bit and what kind of momentum that has created moving into Valor 41.
Yeah, the Saudi fight, man, that was it was amazing. It was electric. I gotta thank the whole Valor crew. I mean, that show was like I said it was amazing. I don't know, it's boosted my morale. It's good to see, you know, to have that following and have all those eyes on me. It just, you know, kind of shows me my future in this is pretty bright. And like I said, I plan on coming in, getting another win against Kelly Payne, going on to the UMAF tournament, hopefully coming out on top there. And I mean, I'd love to have the opportunity to make it to where I'm representing Team USA. And like I said, I'm ready for 2 weeks. There's been a lot of trash talk built up to it, so I'm ready to get in there and back it up.
Well, let's get into that trash talk, man. What happened? What stirred the pot? And you know, what's being said here?
Well, it's kind of me always stirring the pot. I don't know, somebody will get on there, they'll say something, and I just like to get on there and kind of shut people down real quick. And I don't know, I made another little creative video, kind of trash talking Kelly Payne. I represented him as Thomas the Train. I don't know. He's not really said too much. He'll kind of share a video here and there and make a comment here and there, but he doesn't really say much. Mainly it's just been his fans and me kind of going back and forth. And then, as you mentioned, the whole Saudi crowd, some of my fans have jumped in there and had their words. But now the video, I've been saying it since they announced the fight. The Pain Train's getting derailed. That was the whole concept with it.
Tim, you've seen, plenty of Billy. He's the champ, but Kelly, this is a guy that has been sort of under the radar. And then he had that big knockout. How did this matchup come about?
Well, to kind of rewind back to that last event, that actually both these guys were on, Casey actually wasn't at that event. He had his own event that night, so Casey wasn't there. I hate that you missed that one, because it's one of those atmospheres that it's hard to duplicate. That's one of those, like, we don't get those too often. And so it was just insane in there. And both those guys had big wins that night. And essentially it was just the UMAF, the way the brackets fell, you're right. Kelly's been kind of flying under the radar. He's been on, the undercards, of these events and finishing his guys violently. The guys are leaving out of there like messed up, that said, he hasn't fought anyone on Billy's level, not near it yet, so both him and Billy have the common opponent, Tim Johnson, who is a tough gatekeeper type. He's a good test, for anyone, but they both had similar finishes, so it's hard to really differentiate there. I think that as far as just how it came together, Billy had an interest in doing the UMAF tournament, and I'd made the fight for Kelly. He asked if that could be a qualifier as well. And so, any of the divisions where we had four people that were interested, we were doing we would make a semifinal instead of just an immediate final. And we ended up having a lot of those, more than not. And so, that's just how it fell. Billy fought Justin Gooden in his side. And then, the Tim Johnson fight that we just spoke about, that was Kelly's semifinal. So, it's you know, they both want a spot in this national championship tournament, and Valor only has we have one guaranteed slot in each 8-man bracket, you know, reserved for us as the host, and you know, they want that spot, you know, and one of these guys is going to get it. One of these guys is going to have a chance to compete in that national championship tournament and be a national champion and represent Team USA at the Worlds. And the other guy is going to be back to the drawing board, you know? So it's a big fight for both guys. And, you know, I'm excited, man. I think, you know, Kelly's shown knockout power. Billy's shown knockout power. Billy's wrestling is known to be great. Billy got dropped in his last fight, you know, so anything can happen. You know, when you've got guys this big, you know, anything can happen.
So, Billy, are you planning, you know, of course, the big thing that always stands out is your wrestling background. You're a former collegiate wrestler, a very good one. And so my question, of course, is, you know, Kelly Payne's his big thing is going to be his power, the power in his hands. He's going to throw for the fences. Is that something that you're willing to engage? Are we going to go in there and we're going to see, you know, you shoot the double right out of the gate, get him on the ground and finish that business? Or are we going to see you engage on the feet and play the game? You've been training with the American Killer Bees, man. You're full time there now. Those guys can strike. What is your take?
Well, I mean, like you said, I've always got the wrestling to kind of fall back on. And I don't know. I mean, I've fought guys with power. I mean, Ben Rowland had power. Denzel had power. Justin Gooden had power. It's really wherever I want to take it. I've been doing a lot of striking. I mean, people have not really seen my striking because people can't stop my wrestling. So, I mean, it's almost like people aren't telling Conor McGregor to take somebody down and choke him out. They're telling Conor McGregor to strike. So you've always got to kind of fall back on your strengths and have that in your back pocket. But yes, I would like to start showcasing my striking a lot more. I've been doing a lot of work, man, with a lot of people. And, just some of the names like David Robbins, I mean, he's helped me with dividends with my striking. I still work with Jesse Grun. I mean, Sid Wheeler comes in. We work with him. We work with Blaylocks. I go up and I work with Sid Ty Mortai with Chris Beasley and those guys. I mean, I get a lot of different input into my striking game. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, if I feel comfortable standing there and banging, I'll stand there and bang. But if he just comes bum rushing at me and makes the takedown easy, I mean, I'm not gonna pass it by.
Well, there you have it. Well, real quick, Billy, thanks so much for being on. I want to give you a chance to give all your shout outs, all the love, and of course, tell us how we can find you, all your social media plugs and so forth.
I would like to shout out to all my sponsors, Main Event Apparel, Trina Morgan Photography, Amanda with Pure Romance, Twin City Motors, Steve's Landing. Let's see here. What else do I have? RZD Production, Carrie's Bonding. I'm sure I'm leaving one out. Trek Town. I'd like to thank all my sponsors. As an amateur fighter, you don't really get the fight purses. So, I mean, you've got to find your way to kind of survive while you flourish in your amateur career. I'd like to thank all my friends, family, all the people I train with, AKB. All those guys. I mean, thanks for showing up. Thanks for helping me get to the level I'm on. And as far as social medias, you can find me on anything from Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. Most of it is somewhere along the lines of Swanson Billy. Just look for the big sexy guy in the photo. I think that's it.
Well, thanks so much, Billy. You have a great night. We look forward to seeing you March 18th, Valor Fights 41. You have a great night.
All right. You guys have a good night, too.
Thanks,
all right.
Billy. And you know, Casey, a guy with the nickname Big Sexy is going to get that sponsorship from Pure Romance.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Well, So I guess that closes out the night of our our interviews, but we still, you know, we needed to we have some upcoming events we need to talk about real quick before we close it out. So I want to kind of run down a little bit. We've been talking about Sid Wheeler already. He's fighting this weekend. He's, of course, he is really synonymous with Valor Fights. So for the first time in his career as a professional, he's fighting at the Arnold's at Defiance Fight Series, and he's taking on Travis Bam Bam Davis, who's 4-0. Tim, you know more than I do about this guy. What's the story on his opponent?
Well, man, I don't know a whole lot, but from what I've gathered, he's the draw up there. You know, I'm sure he's going to have a large fan base, and that's why I was a little surprised that they booked this fight, unless they just think that, you know, Sid's on the decline, losing two in a row. But Sid's lost two in a row to two very, very, you know, elite guys. So, I think this guy, he's a big, you know, muscled up guy. He certainly looks like he's strong and powerful. From what I gather, he's a ground specialist, which is kind of, Sid's Achilles heel here the past fights that he's lost. You know, so that may be another factor here. But, you know, I think if Sid fights the way that he is supposed to fight and actually goes out there and fights the way that he did in his first five wins, which were against tough competition, that's another thing. I don't think the guy that he's fighting has fought anyone near the level of Sid, let alone probably well over half of I don't know that guy's best opponent's better than any of Sid's opponents. So, I think that it's going to be a major step up for him. You know, I think there's the potential that Sid may be more relaxed, not having to perform in front of a hometown crowd, and going on the road. It's hard to say, how that'll go. So, I think if Sid fights the way that he is supposed to fight, you know, uses his jab and just fights the way that he fought when he was winning, I think he wins.
All right. Well, we're definitely behind him, man. I'm anxious to see Sid Wheeler back in action regardless. And I mean, I definitely think he is still one of the top prospects in the nation. I think, sometimes you hit those stumbling blocks, but when you're 19 years old, you've got plenty of time to make up for that lost area. Of course, Warrior FC, we've already covered everything. We're doing that this weekend. Real quick before we move on from that, main event, what's your pick?
Man, if I just put me on the spot, I'm going to say Haymaker gets it done with a TKO, late in the second, possibly a decision. That being said, there is a chance that in one of these scrambles that Ken catches a submission, but I think Nick is going to be hard to just kind of smother and try to control for three rounds. So I'm going to say Baker late round two TKO. Don't hate me, Ken, because I can definitely see you winning. Now you've got to make a pick too.
I got to make the pick.
You got to make a pick. I can't be the only one.
Okay. All right. I'll do this. You pick Baker. I gotta go against you because we got to make this fun, right?
Okay,
so I'm gonna go with Kim Beverly. I'm gonna say round two submission. Okay. I think Kim Beverly gets it done in round two. He gets in the right spot. He does it and he finishes Nick Baker. Now that being said, I think it could go either way, just like you said. And I'm saying this just to be devil's advocate to have something to. You know, to have fun with you with while we're at the fight. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I look forward to it. Now on to, the big shows. Well, sort of big show, the second biggest show, Bellator 174, goes down this weekend as well. And, of course, it's headlined by the ladies, Marlos Conan versus Julia Budd, that 145-pound title. Now this is something that it's a very interesting fight because Marlos Conan is absolute legend in this sport. She's fought everybody coming and going. Now she is coming off of a submission loss in her last outing, and before that, two fights before, she also lost to Cyborg. We watched that fight, and that was a bit of a war. But she's facing Julia Budd, who's been sort of under the radar, and really, she's a tremendous athlete. She's a tremendous fighter with her only two losses, you know, coming to Ronda Rousey and Amanda Nunes. So the current UFC champion and the former UFC champion who was, you know, the god of women's MMA. I think it's going to be a tremendous fight, and it's very, very interesting. And I'm anxious to see, you know, if Julia Budd can take it to that next level. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, man, I think it's interesting. I think Julia is, you know, she's a specimen. She's just shredded and just, you know, just is very physical. And so, you know, like you said, her only losses are to two of the very best in the world. I feel like Conan's kind of on the decline here and kind of ripe to be overwhelmed, if you will, by just the physicality of Bud. The line's close on it. So it's, you know, neither lady has emerged as a heavy betting favorite, but yeah, you know, I'm gonna go with Bud here. Most likely, I'm gonna say she gets a KO or TKO in the second.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Julia Budd as well. I think she's on a roll. I think she's hungry, and she's ready for her time in the limelight. And it's certainly the platform that can happen. I think Bellator is a prime location for her. Of course, Kendall Grove taking on Mike Biggie Rhodes. You know, he's a replacement for Honeycutt. Biggie Rhodes, man, this is a guy that could do something. He could be a sleeper and take this fight, man. A tough Rufus Sport competitor.
Yeah, man. You know, he's one of these guys that I was always really impressed with when you saw him coming up, like on RFA and whatnot. And then, you know, he had mixed results in the UFC, and now he's back winning again on the regional circuit. And, you know, he's a guy that is, you know, he's very confident, and he's very skilled and athletic, and comes from a great camp, and he's kind of just on the rise. And so it's really always kind of, you don't know what you're going to get with Kendall Grove. You know, he may submit him, but, you know, I'm going to go with the upset here, even on short notice. I think, Rhodes may just be, hungrier and maybe see this as a shot, for him to catapult himself back up into the big leagues.
Well, you're not going to believe this, but I'm also going to go with Rhodes. I think that he definitely takes it, and you can, you know, we've talked about it before. Momentum is everything in this sport. And I think that it's going to be with him tonight, this weekend. So without further ado, let's move on to UFC 209 Woodley versus Thompson 2. And of course, that is a fight that is highly, highly anticipated. Of course, we saw the first one, and it was absolutely amazing. Back and forth action. I don't know how Stephen Thompson wasn't finished in that grappling exchange after he was caught in that guillotine. But somehow he survived it. In my estimation, you know, it was a very close fight and was duly judged a draw. Tim, talk about it.
Man, that was an exciting fight. You know, I wasn't really upset with that decision, and I couldn't believe he didn't get finished early either. I was for sure that was a wrap, and you know, he gutted through that, and I really gained a lot of respect for his durability and heart and grit there. You know, so man, it's a hard one to call. I'm really excited for it. I think that, you know, the sexy pick is Wonder Boy, but I just, you know, Tyrone fighting out of Rufusport, I think that they are going to make adjustments based off of this last one. Not saying that Wonder Boy won't either, but you know, I think as soon as Woodley can kind of get that range, and I think he'll get it quicker than last time, then you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him kind of take over. I'm going to call you know, the belt stays with the champ, Woodley by decision.
Okay, well, You know, Stephen Thompson is a guy, you know, that I worked with quite extensively way back in the day. I was, you know, grappling coach there for Upstate Karate for about 3 years. And I actually saw Stephen when he was a kid, you know, when he was 16 years old as a professional kickboxer, that no grown adult man, they couldn't get any grown adult man to face him. I remember, you know, being in the office and listening to Ray talk to people and to promoters and hearing that, well, we can't get Steven matched. And when I had my first mixed martial arts fight alongside Ian Boxhorn and Eric Jordan, it was Steven Thompson that was the main event in as a kid in a kickboxing match of that event. So you know, it, my heart, you know, having seen him come up, and of course seeing the improvements, you know, when he first started, we saw it with the Mike Brown fight. He had a hard time, you know, staying off of his back. He was susceptible to the takedowns. Of course, he spends a lot of time up there with his brother-in-law. He's related to Weidman through his brother, I guess now. And so, you know, he's done a lot of work there with Matt Serra in Long Island. And I think that, you know, you saw it in the last fight. The way I saw it, Tyron Woodley found every, you know, good, you know, lucky instance that he could in that fight, and he made it happen. And I think that Stephen Thompson, he's not going to allow that this time. I think that Stephen's going to keep his range. I think he's going to be, you know, hitting Tyron, you know, where he needs to, and then be out of there. And I'm going to take Stephen Thompson round 4 TKO.
Oh wow! I think regardless, I think we're gonna get a good one out of it. You know, I'm excited for this one. We're gonna have to avoid spoilers somehow. We're gonna be like on some like treacherous, curvy mountain road when this fight's going down. You know.
All right. Well, real quick, let's run down the rest of the card. Of course, Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on Tony Ferguson. You know, an excellent matchup, man. You know, of course, Khabib, he's been, you know, adamant that he should have been, you know, up for the title a long time ago, you know, a year ago. And he's just been looked over for this reason or that reason. Of course, Tony Ferguson doing so much, Ultimate Fighter standout. And then, you know, we've seen so much from him. He absolutely, you know, battled his ass off against Lando Venata. You know, you thought he was done, and somehow he comes back and he wins, you know, with that Darce choke. Tim, what is your pick in this fight?
Man, I'm really excited. I may be more excited for this one than the main event, honestly, because, you know, whoever wins this one's going to get Connor. And in my house, that's a big deal, you know. So my wife's a huge Connor fan, and I think she may fear Khabib. So I think that, you know, this is going to be a war. You know, it's like eight, like I think Khabib's like eight straight in the UFC, and Tony's like nine straight, or it's just something absurd, you know. And so these guys may be the top two 155 guys in the UFC. So, man, to make a pick, I think, man, Khabib's wrestling and he's so strong. I'm going to go with Khabib decision.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take Khabib. I think Khabib finishes it in round three. Now, we saw a few, you know, holes in the armor of Ferguson in that Venata fight. And I think that he's going to get exposed here. Tell Jamie Lee not to worry, though, that there's a good chance that Connor's going to be messing around with Mayweather at the time, and that title will be up for grabs as a vacated belt. So tell her not to worry about it. He'll probably not have to worry about Khabib. Next fight, of course, Rashad Evans versus Daniel Kelly. Rashad Evans, former UFC champion. He needs no introduction. Daniel Kelly, a guy that I'm pretty familiar with. I spent some time down at the AFC Australian Fighting Championship, and I actually watched Daniel Kelly rise up the ranks. He's a judo Olympian, a tremendous one, but has a heck of a chin, and you know prefers to go out there and stand and bang. I think it's going to be a really good fight because, you know, of course, Kelly, a rising star, and Rashad, many believe, you know, maybe in the final days. Tim, your thoughts.
You know, at first glance on this one, I was just like, I saw this fight and I was like, nah, you know what, you know, WTF, you know, but, you know, it's, the more I think about it, actually, it's kind of intriguing because, like, who knows what's going to freaking happen. I think it's, you know, at one time it would just been easy to pick Rashad, but like, he's been denied licenses and, you know, has had obviously something slowing him down medically. He hasn't won a fight since 2014. And then Daniel Kelly, on the other hand, he's this guy, like, I was actually randomly watched that season of the tough, I think it was like Canada versus Australia or some odd weird season that he was on. I watched it and I was like never like blown away with that guy. He's as you know, he's just very kind of unassuming stature and kind of undersized and a little slow. And, you know, it was just kind of, I never really was that high on him. And I've been betting against him over and over, and he keeps winning and winning and winning. And so, like, I don't know, man. Who knows? I think, again, your initial gut reaction is to say Rashad, but I'm going to say Daniel Kelly by knockout in the first round.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take Daniel Kelly in the second round by knockout. And like I said, I just think that Rashad's chin's too touchy right now. You know, too much going on.
We bet on
there.
That we get really good. I think maybe like Rashad might be like, I'd have to like check, but I think he might be like pretty decent favorite. It's probably a decent payback on Kelly.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to find out. Lando Venata, we've talked about him already, taking on David Tamer. What is your pick?
That's going to be a fun one. I think that's your a good potential fight of the night. Two very good strikers. You know, Tamer's kind of inexperienced. I think he's only 5-1, but he has, pro kickboxing experience. And then Venata is, you know, a highly touted prospect out of New Mexico at Jackson Winklejohn. And he's a guy that I got to see him fight Tony Ferguson live, and he almost beat Tony. I mean, he gave him all he wanted. He won the first round, and then the second round he got overwhelmed, but he fought him at 155, and I think he's a 45er naturally, and there was you could see a size difference, but very exciting striker. And then he had a knockout of the year in December against Mac Desi. So I think this is a good, exciting, fun fight. I'm going to call Venata by first round knockout, but with skilled strikers like this, I could see either guy landing a knockout blow, or it's just having a 3-round awesome war.
Well, you know, I think it'll be a good fight too. And just to kind of go against you, I'm going to go with Tamer, and I'll tell you why. Lando, of course, he had that great fight with Ferguson, but he did end up losing that fight. Also, you know, the McDessie, if you go back and look at McDessie, you know, really he is only 2-3 in his last 5 fights. While it's a good win, he is no David Tamer. And so I'm going to go ahead and, you know, like I said, just to make it fun, mix it up, I'm going to go with Tamer. I'm going to say round 2 knockouts.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Now you want to talk about knockouts. Alistair Overeem, Mark Hunt. Now this one is going to be a lot of fun. What say you, Tim?
Ooh, wee. The Ream, he won this, the match they had in 2008. I think he submitted him. Don't hold me to that. So I think, you know, if the fight, you know, goes to the ground, then, you know, he has a bit of an advantage, I suppose. If it stays standing, these guys both, you know, throw some heavy leather. Mark Hunt isn't on the best relation. Doesn't have good relations with UFC right now, so who knows if that's a distraction. And Alistair was just really high up on the totem pole not long ago, and I think he's going to be hungry to get this win so he can get right back into one of those big fights that Hunt is still probably not going, couldn't get even if he did win. So it probably doesn't even want at this point. So I want to go with Overeem round 2 submission.
Okay. Fair enough. You know, my heart really says Alistair Overeem. And the reason is it's just, I've watched him begin to evolve again. You know, those older pride guys, you typically, what you see is what you get. And really that's what you get with Mark Hunt. Same thing. So yes, you're right. Alistair Overeem is a little more, he's evolved a little bit more, but just for fun, once again, Mark Hunt, he's got that KO power. And when he does win, it is such an event. So I'm going to go with Mark Hunt, and I'm going to say Mark Hunt takes it round 3 knockout.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, that pretty much, you know, closes out the main card, but I did want to touch on one more. And of course that is one of our regional favorites, Luke Sanders, taking on Lurie Alcantara. This dude has got an extensive record. He has fought a who's who of competitors, 33-7. Of course, Luke Sanders undefeated at 11-0, and he has looked absolutely fabulous, throughout his career. But he's going to have to step up here against someone who is, you know, essentially, you know, 3 times the number of fights. Tim, Your thoughts?
Hoo-wee. This is a tough one for Luke. This is a big step up for him. That said, you know, Luke, I think that the promotion is high on him. He's got a great look, great motor, very exciting style, just very hyper aggressive and throws high volume. Alcantara, I think, is coming off a loss, but he's been fighting at a very high level. Maybe he's not coming off. Don't hold me to that. I don't know for sure he's coming off a loss, but I know that he was on the bad end of a really bad KO not too long ago. But he's been fighting, just top level guys, top 15 guys. He himself may be a top 15 guy. So, man, this is a really hard one to call. I got to go with Luke. I can't pick against Luke, but it's tough, man. Like, in these scrambles, he could potentially get submitted, I think. But I'm going to officially pick Luke round three TKO.
All right.
Well, in a very good, very exciting fight.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that maybe Lurie comes out in round one and starts to do a few things. And I think that out of nowhere, Luke Sanders surprises him, puts him away round one TKO.
I'd love it.
All right. Well, that concludes our coverage of UFC. And that is really, that's all she wrote for Valor.
For the Valor Hour, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we need to make sure people know that this thing will be on iTunes and Stitcher, I guess overnight. I guess maybe by the time you hear this, then you've already woken up and it's there, I guess. But you can let everybody know, it's on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Valor Hour and share it. And, let's spread the word. Let's get this thing ramped up.
Well, I want to tell everybody, come out this weekend for all of the great fights throughout the United States, especially those regional shows. You may not know about them. You may not be hearing about them the same way you hear about the UFC, the Bellator, and all the rest. But, man, these shows, I'm telling you, this weekend we're going to have a packed house, and it's going to be a hot, electric evening. Man, buy a ticket to a regional event. Come out, and especially don't miss Valor Fights 41, March 18th at Evolution Sports in Elizabethan. That one is going to be a lot of heat.
Yeah, man. We got, a really stacked card there. We've got too many fights. I mean, honestly, I mean, you're going to get more than your money's worth. It's a silly loaded card, and I'm a fool for putting this many fights on a card because I worry that we'll be there all night, but it's going to be awesome. I mean, there's so many good fights, and you get your tickets now. We don't have a whole lot of VIP stuff left. I think we have two tables left now, and you get those at fightertix.com, of course. You can watch on Flow Combat. And let us know, message us on our social media if there's something that you want us to cover or talk about. If there's if you've got a regional event, maybe that we can talk about, or if there's a certain fighter you want to hear from that maybe we can try to get on here, or a certain topic you want us to talk about, let us know.
Well, there you have it. Tim, Loy, Casey, Yoxin, Don, Tim, it is a pleasure as always. We will see everyone next week on the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
This is an MMA report with Jason Floyd, Quick Fix, on Radio Influence.
Joining me now here on the MMA report on Radio Influence, a man that was recently signed by the UFC and is going to make his debut, UFC 210. He's going to take on Josh Emmett. It is Dez Green. I remember it was a couple weeks ago, you put out on your social media platforms that you were supposed to meet with UFC. Ultimately, that did not happen. So kind of how did this come together?
I was supposed to go down there and meet with Dana. My manager, I set that up. As usual, not usual, but like Dana's busy schedule, something came up, so he had to postpone the meeting. He didn't know exactly when. I kind of told my manager, I'm like, well, listen, I just want to, get into there, show him my highlight video, give him my stats. Maybe if you could just do a phone conference with him, You know what I mean? You know, the whole thing was to try to set up what we originally wanted was, you know, to present it to Dana. Hey, listen, you know, guys on a 4-5 win streak. I was supposed to fight for the Titan belt in March. So we're going to, you know, propose to him. Like, hey, listen, he's fighting Freddie Assunzo, who's like 8-9-1. You know, he's on a 8-5 win streak. You know, when Dez wins this fight, you know, can you guys sign him? And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, the Buffalo card came up. So I was like, you know, just by chance, throw it in there when you talk to him. You know, like, hey, listen, this guy is from Rochester. He went to college in Buffalo. You know what I mean? I'm like, see if he'll go for it. You know, I know he's always looking for hometown guys to throw on cards. So, you know, I'm like, you know, with all of that, you know, we're kind of like throwing out two pitches. Either, you know, sign me after the fight in Titan, or if you want, you know, a hometown guy, I could be for the Buffalo card. So, you know, like a week after that post, you know, my manager said, all right, I had a phone conference with him. You know, he said, here, you know, he's going to look you up. He sounded a bit interested. He wasn't sure. He had to talk to the matchmakers and whatnot. So then like another 4 days go by and I'm thinking like, oh man, he's probably back busy again, not even thinking about it. And then my manager called me like, hey, listen, I just got a call from Damon. He said, you're in the Buffalo card. And at first I was just like, huh? Like, cause I wasn't expecting it. I thought he was going to say, you know, all right, after March or something. He's like, yo, you heard me. You're fighting in Buffalo. You're in the UFC now. And I was just like, yo, I was actually at work. I picked up a little part-time job. I hadn't fought since December. So about a month ago, I picked up a little part-time job just on the phones at night for like a multiple sclerosis campaign. And, you know, I got the call. So I immediately went to the bathroom and he told me and I was at work and I was just like, geez, that's crazy. I ended up, you know, of course I quit work like 2 days later. So I could just like, really start my training camp, but yeah, man, it was all crazy.
The MMA Report with Jason Floyd can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.